Welcome to Captivate the Room with your host, internationally known voice expert, Tracy Goodwin, an award-winning speaker who has taught hundreds around the globe to make a big impact with their voice. This podcast is for anyone who wants to step onto a bigger stage, make a bigger impact, and have a voice that makes people listen. Presentation matters, and the voice is the missing link. Join in and you'll see why.
Welcome to the podcast, Captivate the Room, episode number 33. I'm your host, Tracy Goodwin, and I teach people how to step into their voice power so they can speak their truth beautifully while making a big impact. You can find out more about me at CaptivateTheRoom.com. If you're a podcaster or thinking about being a podcaster, or maybe you just do videos or live stream, you want to make sure and check out my new course, Podcast Voice. Thank you, as always, for your downloads and your shares. And simply for being here with a desire to make a big impact with your voice. Today, we're talking with Mark Timberlake. And I have to tell you, I have been waiting for this interview for so long. I have admired Mark's work. I consider him a colleague. He is my go-to guy on so many things. And I don't care what you're working on, whether it's video, whether it's social media, whether it's e-courses, whether it's podcasting, Mark is your guy. And you know, the only thing you're going to get tired of today is me oohing and aahing over him and his work. But I just think he's brilliant. Let me tell you a little bit about Mark. He runs a marketing company called SME Heroes, which specializes in training on all things to do with online course creation and online marketing. He has extensive experience with online business in various forms over the last 14 years, and he loves to share his hard-won lessons and techniques for online business success. And that's one thing I can tell you about Mark. I have never known someone who is so readily willing to help. But in addition to that, he also has over 12 years experience in online retail and over 5 years experience as a commercial photographer. This means he has a deep breadth of experience, which comes through in his courses, which are always designed to be easy to understand and pass on the practical skills he's learned. He also has a number of free courses available, so please check those out as well. Mark, thank you so much for being here. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, Tracy, and thank you for that warm welcome.
Well, I just, you know, I've admired your work, and you run that lovely group on Google Plus. What is the name of the group now, Mark? I know you've recently adjusted it.
The online entrepreneur community. So it's aimed at people who are looking to make a living online. So we have lots of stuff in there. So it's predominantly course creators, but we welcome other stuff, like there's been some good stuff on Amazon FBA recently. So anything around, that's the sort of content we want, helping people build their business online. It's marketing. That's why all your stuff fits in there with presentation of them, Tracy. You know, all that stuff, you know, that people need to learn to succeed as an online business, particularly focused on residual income business models, but we don't exclude anything. So if you want to, you know, learn how to build a business online, connect with some people in there, some great people in there. I know you've had a lot of opportunities connecting in there, and a lot of things have happened for you in there and for other people that have connected to you. So it's just a great place for people to connect, you know, if that's what they're trying to do with their life.
Yeah, it's really such a lovely community. You know, some communities are very restrictive about, well, you can't ever talk about your work, or you can't ever do this or that, but it's just really such a beautiful community, people really supporting each other. And that definitely comes from the top for sure. So, you know, I always start out by asking my guests the question, tell us about what you do. And with you, I don't know if I know a human alive that does as much as you do. I honestly don't know how much, I don't know how you ever sleep, but tell us what you do. Tell us about SME Heroes and everything else that you do.
Well, basically, about 18 months, I think, we came across online training. We'd already been going in that direction. We found Udemy, and we had a number of businesses before, but we was doing training, but we hadn't realized how to actually get it out there and charge for it. So we was doing a lot of free stuff. Basically, we just started doing it, and we took off really quickly because we've got a video production background. I've got experience teaching. So all the skills we had, we just sort of fell into it as a natural fit for us. So what essentially that's meant, we're almost at a place of retirement now, what I call retirement. So I'm going to be retired by the end of this year. What that essentially means is Phil argues me about my definition, but I don't care. So when Philomena says that's not retirement, I just disagree. It is. This is my idea of retirement. No service-based work, no employment. So what that means is I am not working one-to-one with anybody. All of my business now is focused on one-to-many. So I create content and marketing content that I sell, I produce, and then I sell that to many people. So by the end of this year, I'm there now, to be honest, but by the end of this year, my goal is full retirement, where I'm just creating online training and marketing to help support that and basically helping the community online grow. So that's essentially what I'm doing. So that means now that I turn down, I've had people approach me for marketing consultation. I'm not doing that anymore. Photography and video work, it has to be a really good job. You know, I'm at the place now, which is really good, but I don't have to take those horrible jobs, you know, where you just take them just to pay the bills. I'm not having to do that. The online training is covering everything we need and more. So I've moved away from service-based work. So that's where we are really at the moment. So we focus then on course creation and marketing. And it's actually quite simple what we do, because we've got two very clear streams. So that's how we manage to keep being very productive, is because we're very focused.
Well, that is my question, is how do you manage the amount of course creation you do? Every time I turn around, you've got another great course up. What is the system?
First thing, Tracy, which actually comes back, which I think will help maybe some of the viewers that typically sort of consume your stuff, is you need a studio setup. And when I say a studio setup, I've got a very complex, very, you know, powerful studio setup here. So I've got some real high-end equipment. I'm not talking about that. When I say you need a studio setup, one of the key things for productivity is you need to be able to walk into an environment that's a recording environment that's completely stable. And that's going to do one of two things. One, it's going to reduce the pressure. And the other thing is, it's going to increase the productivity. So a lot of people are not productive because when they do a course, for instance, they might have to get their laptop out and they set that up and they get their mic out and they juggle that and they plug that in and all of a sudden all this stuff, and if something doesn't work, and all of a sudden the recorder and it doesn't work and it's a waste of time, or the systems aren't slick. Because before, 15 years ago, before I started in creating my own online businesses, I came from a manufacturing background. So I was trained in Japanese production techniques, literally in Japanese, like, you know, what's called Kaizen Kanban. It's sort of Japanese production. So what that meant was I've had training. I know to systemize everything. So one thing it does is that increases your efficiency. The other thing that's really important when it comes to presenting on camera, if you're not worried about your environment, you can actually work on your delivery. And all my stuff is pretty much talking heads, Tracy. And that for me was a huge thing, because when I first started out, people saw my stuff 18 months ago. I look at it now and I'm horrified. People saw my stuff 18 months ago and they see me live. So they're used to me doing live training in a room, and they see me and they say, but when you're on video, you're so stiff, you're so unrelaxed. And part of it was my environment was so chaotic. There were so many things not bolted down in my production studio that were causing problems, that I'm sort of presenting. At the same time, I'm looking over here and I'm looking over here. And I don't mean literally, I mean mentally. So I'm focused on this thing over here and this thing over here. One of the, you know, and anyone who's listening who hasn't taken Tracy's courses on presentation skills, the best stuff out there, I'm really going to recommend that. So that's the key thing is, you know, it's very difficult to work, and this is what I've been working on since January. It's very difficult to work on your presentation skills if there's so many distractions going around. If you think about it, you know, so you know more about this than me, Tracy, but when someone's on film and in camera, there's people taking care of everything for you. Are you with me? And then you're there, and your job is to present. But when you start recording yourself, that is a huge environmental impact, that issue right there, because, you know, you are everything. You're the producer, you're the director, and you're the presenter.
I never even thought about it that way. And that is so true.
Once you've stabilized your environment, you can actually work on your presentation. So this has been the biggest learning curve for me is, you know, just having a stable studio environment enables me to relax and actually concentrate on my presentation. Because when you're recording talking heads, for instance, when you're creating online video content, marketing content, or you're creating course content, most important thing is that you bring that energy across, right? If you've got all these distractions, Tracy, that was where I was struggling. That was where it was really interesting.
You've got this elaborate studio. I remember you building it. It was this just labor of love. It was just beautiful. You've got all the great equipment. What do we all need that? Do we start there? What do we start with?
Well, we start with the basics. So the basic component is the same. And all you're doing is changing the expense of the equipment and adding a bit more functionality. So no, you don't need to spend a fortune. In fact, at the beginning, all you need something is like a C920 webcam, which in fact, Phil Campbell in the comments today, he's just done a course on how to get that camera to actually work with a Mac, which was interesting. But all you need is as simple as a C920 webcam, an Audio Technica ATR2100 mic, and then a PC or laptop that's relatively decent power, so relatively modern. So you want 8 gig of RAM. You're going to want an i5 processor if you can get it. And a desktop is better than a laptop unless you need to be really mobile. And pretty much when you've done that, you've cracked the system. But the point is this. You want to be able to have a system sitting, so you have a corner of the room, you have something where you just don't touch it. You just literally, you come in, you press the on button, and it's exactly the same every time. Your software is set up, you just hit record. Once you've got that, then the whole process becomes much easier. But if you're having to break your studio down every time, or you're having to grab your studio and bring it together every time, that's when you're going to get technical problems. Now, it doesn't prevent technical problems, but it eliminates them when you've got these processes in place. But no, you don't need it. So you could literally, from scratch, most people have got a PC. So let's say you have got a decent PC. Most people have got that these days. Literally, all you need to do is buy the C920 webcam. And that's a Logitech C920, if anyone's listening on the blab. In the podcast, a Logitech C920 and the Audio Technica ATR2100 USB dynamic mic. Those two pieces of equipment, you've got everything you need to create course content in terms of slideshow. And obviously, you might want some lighting, some cheap lights, some daylight bulb kits if you want to do talking heads, because that's really going to help as well. So total outlay, you can actually probably get up and filming. You've got about £60 on the camera, £80 on the microphone. So convert that to dollars. Get charged about the same. So you've got $140, £140 there. And a set of lights might be another £140 for a good set of daylight bulb kits. And all of a sudden, you're looking at like $300 or £300 around that sort of price point, assuming you've got the PC and you've got a studio setup, but it has to be there. You can't keep nicking your PC or anything. You have to leave it as a stable mm-hmm. setup. Mm-hmm. And then you're in business. And you think about it, if you're a course creator, you can literally start a business for about £300.
Well, and you know, all of your courses have helped me tremendously, but one of the things that I think you are especially gifted at is lighting.
Okay.
What is the course? What are the courses that you have? The one that I took that had all, I mean, there's just such an art to it and you make it so simple. What are the courses that you have where we can talk, where you talk about this technique? I can't remember off the top of my head.
Well, you've got three-point lighting as the basic lighting setup. So because I come from a photography background, three-point lighting is your basic lighting setup, which is a main, a fill, and a rim, and not lighting the background. So three lights for most people, if you've got a nice little plain place, that's enough. It really is. And then it's just about getting the main light more powerful than the fill light. So you can turn a couple of bulbs off if you buy a daylight lighting kit. So you create a little bit of ratio on the face, and you just have one behind out of shot, which casts a little bit of rim over the subject. That's probably the most basic, but a very pleasing look. Now, obviously, I've got that in my Udemy course creation, but I'm going to share something with you now, Tracy, that nobody else knows about. So you're the first one to hear this. We're actually going through this month. We're completely revamping our online training courses. So we're going to go through and do the whole thing, because so much has changed in the last year in terms of platforms, in terms of equipment, in terms of bringing the cost down. Rather than updating our old courses, which were Udemy focused, we're going to create new courses which are completely focused on just platform agnostic content. So what do I mean by that? Content that you can create and put anywhere. And it's not Udemy, it's not Skillshare, it goes everywhere. So we're currently working on that, and you're the first person to hear about that. So that's a big thing we're working on. This is going to be a really big course.
That's exciting. That's really exciting, because you're branching out. And I want to talk about more about the courses, but I do have one more question about equipment. And I want to get your thought on this, because, you know, this is so your area. What do you think about these people that are, and I don't mean it like that, but what about filming on iPhones? People ask me, I don't do what you do, but I work with people on their video technique and as a performer, if you will, presenter, if you will. I get that question all the time. Well, can I just shoot it on my iPhone?
Yeah, absolutely. Now, the thing is, when you shoot on your iPhone, you are actually adding in a little bit of a layer of complexity. So people struggle with that. There's a couple of things that you'll need to do to make that really work. But yeah, you can do it. You know, got to remember, there's two things that are most important with any video production are the lighting and the audio. So once you've cracked those, the camera is irrelevant. So an iPhone is actually a better camera than a webcam. Mm. It's higher quality if you use one of the modern iPhones, obviously. So you're actually getting really, really high quality video. But the key is, with any camera, if you light the subject well, you'll be surprised what you can get away with. Now, one little tip I've got is this little trick here. This is my chroma key is just keying this out a little bit, so you can see it going a little bit funky. But what this is this a little thing plugs into your iPhone, and that then plug a HDMI cable into this. And what that essentially does is that's going to turn your iPhone, and you'll be able to take the iPhone and put a signal out and then plug it into your TV. So you can film on your iPhone and you can see what you're doing on a TV or a monitor. Now, that's called a reference monitor. So when you're filming, one of the things you need to be able to do is see yourself. This is a thing a lot of people don't realize. You actually need to, if you want to do good talking heads and you want to make sure you've not drifted out of the screen. So if I'm over here, do you get me? And I can't see what I'm filming. That's an issue. So one of the things is a reference monitor. So if you're using an iPhone, this is an Apple product. There's no third party variant. It is a little bit expensive. They want about £35 for it. That's Apple for you. Very solid though, works. And what that essentially does is you can take your iPhone signal out as a video signal. You can either put that to a monitor or you can record that. So people have asked me when they're doing iPhone thing, they say, I can't see myself on because the iPhone's small. I can't see the screen. How do I do it? Buy one of those HDMI cable, stick a monitor underneath your iPhone camera. If you've got a computer monitor or a small TV with a HDMI cable, plug it in. Now you're going to see yourself on camera, and that's going to solve one of your biggest technical issues. So the top tip there for people.
Yeah, but it sounds like, and that's great advice, and that's wonderful. But it also sounds like, you know, you're saying for a pretty reasonable price, people can get their equipment, set that little nook up, and that's their space that they go and record. And I really like that. I like the stability idea of that. I think that's really good.
Because when you get down to it, like let's say Skillshare, and we've got Phil Campbell in the side here, and he's doing this at the moment. He's got a very good setup. He's sharing his on Skillshare the other day, and he's exactly the same mindset. Get your systems right. So literally, Phil's at the moment, he's producing 20 to 30 minute courses in one day while he's working. So he's not even spending the whole day because his systems and his processes are really tight and he's got that down to a fine art. So all he's got to do is think of an idea and create the course. So you can literally create a course. If you're a subject matter expert, you can literally create a short 20, 30 minute course with a good stable system in 2 to 3 hours. So today, for instance, I produced a video on YouTube, a marketing video, and it's a great resource for people that are looking for different places to sell courses. I'm talking about that in the video, and it's a 20-minute video, and it literally took me about 2.5 minutes from beginning to publish and sharing online. So it's about 2.5 hours from starting to film to for it going live, and that was a 20-minute video. And with a platform like Skillshare, that's a course. 20-minute, 30 minutes is a short project-based course. And when you start thinking like that, you know, Udemy, yes, Udemy want 2.5, 3, 4 hour courses, and that's going to take you much more time. But when you're thinking short courses like Skillshare, you can produce stuff really, really, really quickly. And that's the way you've got to be thinking. You don't want the production time slowing you down. And now that feeds into another issue, Tracy. When you're presenting on camera, if you're not comfortable, if you're not flowing, what's going to happen? You get to the editing process and you're going to be chopping and changing, and it's going to create so much more time. But if you can deliver because you're in a studio environment and you're very comfortable, when it comes to the editing, what I do now literally is if I make a mistake, I stop and then I start presenting again. I can then look in and I can skim through my editing really quick. Oh, yeah, I remember I did that, chop that out, and I'm done, because it's all about processes.
That's amazing. And that's how you really, I think, you have to do it. You have to be able to crank that stuff out and not get bogged down in, oh, I'm going to lose Wednesday because I'm going to shoot something, you know, which is I've been in that before where I got to block off 3 days to get something shot and everything else. So that really does sound like it's key. Now, you mentioned a minute ago where you were talking about having that video when you do that iPhone and being able to see yourself presenting. You're great on camera. Did you ever struggle with any presentation or, like the way I sound, you know, did you struggle with that? And what'd you do to fix it?
Well, one of them, I took your courses. That was the first thing.
Okay, good.
So I took Tracy's course on presentation and I learned quite a lot from that in terms of technique. And why I am an R, which I just did. See, I'm aware of my ums and R's. Thank you. And I know why I am an R now. So that was the first thing. But when I first started out, like I said, I was very wooden because I was so stressed. I didn't realize. And my students in the reviews, they kept telling me, and I didn't want to hear it. I'm like, you get in front of the camera. Like Philomene would try to say to me, Mark, yeah, it's great, but I think you need a little bit more energy. And I'll be like, oh, that's easy for you to say. You go and film, see how easy it is.
Yeah.
And that was my response. It was like, do you know how hard this is? And that was, and it's hard at the beginning, Tracy. You know, the thing I learned from you, and I think the core lesson I think that you taught me is you're really trying to find your natural self.
Yeah.
You're really trying to find your natural self. So you're trying to get rid of all the noise that stops that happening. Mm-hmm. And that was the issue for me. There was so much noise going on in the studio, equipment not working properly, you know, having to change equipment, audio playing up, you know, not getting the right audio quality, passing traffic, interrupting. All these distractions, all these things were detracting. And as I eliminated them and brought that technological strain down, I could then concentrate on some of the things you teach, which is more about the presentation, the energy, you know, the pausing, the speaking. Because I could speak in public. I've got no problem speaking in public whatsoever. But when it came to camera, it was a completely different experience. And I think that surprised me a little bit, Tracy, and you probably come across people that they find that.
They can present in front of like 300-400 people and not even blink. They go on camera and all of a sudden that they feel like, you know, they don't even realize, but their presentation skills, like, you know, just got up and walked out the door and left them sitting there. Do you get me? And that was my experience.
Yeah, for sure. I've been working with a woman just now recently who is just, that's her story. Boy, she can just kill it in front of 200, 300 people, and getting in front of a webinar is eating her up. It's eating her up. And there's so many more distractions. There's so much, it's so unnatural. It's so weird. Who am I talking to? What's that? Where's this? How's this looking? You know? And I think that that technical piece bogs people down. And that's why I tell everybody about your work, because it doesn't have to. You know, you present it in such a way in your courses that even someone, and my whole audience knows my technical issues. I get it. It makes sense, you know, and you really explain things in such a way that a layman can get it. I mean, you obviously know a lot, but for somebody like me that doesn't, man, it you make it super simple. And that's, I know, part of your success.
Yeah, that's one of the part. That's actually one of the things is you've got to understand. This is the mistake, because this comes from a marketing background. This is the mistake people make when they start teaching. So look, I've just shifted slightly there to a teaching, you know, methodology. And this is the thing. If you're an expert in something and you try and speak to somebody who's not an expert, you're speaking Chinese to them. Mm-hmm. And you've got to grasp that. You're speaking Chinese and they haven't got a clue what you're talking about. So when it comes to good teaching skills, what a good teacher is someone who can interpret what you know into a language they can understand. And that's a core thing in all of, that's a core principle in my teaching. I understand that. That's, and I think if you grasp that, you're, anybody who's teaching will think, and you're very similar. You, when you teach, you don't assume that people know. You assume they don't know anything. And you've got to do that. Now, there are times when you're speaking to technical people about a technical subject, but if then you've got to be careful you're not running ahead of them, because if they're coming to you to learn, inherently that means that you know stuff they don't. And one of the key things to understand is when I say Chinese, I don't mean that by accident, is that when you have an area of expertise, language is really interesting because people develop a language. So if you go and speak to a web developer, he'll start talking about HTML, CSS. That's a new language. That's not English. You with me? That is Chinese, because you don't know, you know, when a programmer starts talking about classes and all this other stuff, and you're like, a class? What are you talking about? You know, what's and they just, and I see this all the time, because we come from a marketing background, our core job has always been, okay, I know what you know. Let's say, for instance, I'll give you an example. I was talking to a guy and I said to him, what do you do for business? And he said, we install Cat 5, Cat 6, data cabling, da, 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 da. And he reeled off all his stuff he did. And my mind switched off, because one of the psychological principles of receiving information is this. If you read a book, if you've ever read a book and you all of a sudden you've read 3 pages and you cannot remember what those 3 pages were. The reason that happens is because you read one word you didn't understand. Yeah. And as soon as you didn't understand one word, your brain just switches off. It goes, I cannot understand this now. And you can no longer, your brain can't retain that. So when you're teaching a course, if you lose them at one point, you've lost that for the rest of the course. Does that make sense?
Yeah, for sure. For sure. And I agree too. You know, I have that saying all the time. I tell people, we don't know what you know. We just don't. And I wonder sometimes if that's not a hang up for e-course instructors. They forget that. They don't know that piece. And so they get all this, you know, they go too fast. And they just throw out all this lingo, and maybe they're not getting their words out because they think we know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah. And that is the key thing. So when you're teaching, you have to translate it into layman's language. You have to take your expertise into layman's language. And when you're marketing, you have to do the same. And that's where it's really interesting. Because when you're marketing, there's no point saying to someone, so this guy, for instance, I'll send you a story. Yeah, we install Cat 5, Cat 6 data cabling. And I said to the guy, what is your customer trying to buy? And he said, Cat 5, Cat 6, data cable. I said, he's not trying to buy that, trust me. There's the last thing in the world that's entering his mind he wants to buy. What is it you do for people? He says, well, what we do is we go and we put this cable in, we make people's computers faster. I said, so why would people want faster computers? He says, well, offices, they've got a big network and loads of computers in there. What's going to happen to that office if they haven't got quick cables? The computer systems are going to be slow, and then your workers are going to be sitting there, they're going to be unproductive. I said, so what is it your client is actually trying to buy? And he started to think, and he said, they want a faster computer system. Why? Because they want their staff to be more productive, to sell them that. Don't sell them Cat 5, Cat 6 data cable, because they've got no frame of reference. But if you say to them, we can install a computer system that's going to increase your productivity for your team by 30 to 40%, are you interested?
Wow. You're good. You're good.
But that's the principle. That's the principle of when we take that then and teach the same, Tracy.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, what is it they actually want to learn? So for you, they don't want to improve their voice coaching. That's not what they don't want to improve their voice. There'll be something emotional of value and mentally of value that they actually want to achieve. And when you figure out what that is, you know, like remove your fear. Don't be, you know, how not to be frightened in a room, speaking in a room, you've got to deal and address those fears and those desires and those wants. We don't bypass the brain, but we have to just communicate in a way they can understand. That's a key thing when it comes to teaching.
Yeah, I love that. And I did not know that about the one word. That's really amazing. That's really fascinating. So in your opinion, you've already told us about this retirement, which is congratulations. I'm so excited about that for you. I have watched you work so hard. I literally do not know when you sleep, like I said before. But what can you tell us are the keys to this kind of success, to making this residual income? Beyond the systems, we got the systems in place.
Yep.
We've got the teaching modality in place. Yep. Now, what else do we need to do to be like you?
Okay, so the thing, I've actually just released a course on this. It's funny you should ask. If you're on Skillshare, pop over there and grab this new course I've done. It's called the Online Entrepreneur Survival Guide. And I don't even think you even know about this, do you, Tracy, this course?
No, tell me.
No. So this course is, I know Phil's taken it, and he gave me a great review on that. He really appreciated it. But what it is the Online Entrepreneur Survival Guide. So when we think in terms of online success, me and Phil have been running businesses 15 years online, and there are huge unspoken pressures when you're an online entrepreneur. Huge unspoken pressures. I know you're familiar with them, Tracy. You know, how am I going to pay the bills this month? How am I going to do this? You know, my friends think I'm unemployed. You know, they, why don't you get a normal job? That's those sort of challenges. And in this course, I go through all these sort of processes. So if you're on Skillshare, go and check it out on there. You get that with your subscription. If you're on Udemy, pop over there and give me a ping, and I'll send you a $10 coupon through for that. But the key point is this. There's two core principles of success. Two. And if you can have those two principles in your business undermining everything that you do, and you're delivering value to people, you will succeed. And if it's product that people want, you're delivering value, these two principles are going to carry you through. So the two secrets of this. Number one, hope. And we have to break hope down, okay? But number one is hope, and number two is diligence. Now, when I talk about hope, I'm not talking about, you know, fairy on the bluebell in the garden type hope. You know, you're sitting there counting the fairies in your garden. What I'm talking about here is the psychological principle of hope. And give you a quick breakdown of this, really quick, Tracy. The way it works is this. We're motivated in a certain way. So one way we're motivated is based on what we've experienced in the past and avoiding pain. So that's a form of motivation. I don't want my life to be like this anymore, therefore I will change. I'm going to work to get away from that. And the other type is I'm moving towards something. I want to experience something in my life. And we know that traditionally as the carrot and the stick. Now, most people, when they start making plans as an entrepreneur, they focus on the hope and they focus on what they want in the future. But there's a big problem there. You've never actually experienced that. By definition, you've never actually experienced that future. So you're hoping for that future, but you don't actually have a solid foundation. So what you need is a combination of the two. You need to know what you're moving away from and what you're moving towards. And when you combine them, that's genuine hope. That's the carrot and the stick. So good exercise for people if they're listening. A4 piece of paper, draw a line down the middle. One side, write down the things you're trying to avoid in your past. And I'm talking about mental and emotional situations rather than, you know, and it might be financial as well, but typically there are mental and emotional. So a financial is an emotional mental issue. The financial issue isn't the issue. It's how you respond to that that's the issue. So write down what you want to avoid in the past. And then on the other side, write down what you want to achieve in the future. Again, mentally and emotionally, how you want to feel, how you want to think about yourself, what sort of life. And then you can put on there your car, your house, your boat, you know, your holidays. You can put all that on there, but be real about that. So once you're clear, you take those two columns and you break that down and you summarize that in a simple statement. And that becomes the foundation of your hope. That's principle number one. So now you've got solid hope-based mentality. So when things aren't going right, you're like, I'm going to keep moving forward. Mm-hmm. And I know what I'm trying to avoid. I know where I'm going to. That's number one. Number two is diligence. And this is where most people fail. You know, like people, you know, the old saying is the overnight success. Somebody looks at him and says, you succeeded overnight. And he said, yeah, I've been succeeding overnight for 12 years or 15 years. So for me and Phil, we've been succeeding overnight 15 years. It's all those years of experience coming up to this that enables us to know how to run an online business, because we've been through the failings. We've been through the problems. We've been through the trials. We've had really successful times. We've had really, really bad times as online business, as entrepreneurs. And that's how we identify ourselves as entrepreneurs. That's what we're talking about here, that entrepreneurial spirit. So when it comes to this, it's diligence. It's moving forward and just doing the things that need doing every day. And not being held back because you haven't achieved this, not becoming depressed, but doing the things you need to do, simplifying what you need to do. Now, what happens is, it's really interesting, is when you start out in business, you get a mistake come into your life. Now, you'll get some mistake comes into the business, and then you adjust for the mistake. Okay? So then now you're a bit closer to the optimum. And as you go through life, another mistake will come in and you adjust again a little bit more. And as you keep adjusting mistakes, it's the same as building a studio. You start eliminating all the things from your business that are actually stopping you succeed. And what happens eventually, as you practice diligence, you get to the place where you've removed all those things that are inhibiting you. And now you're focused on a pure business model. Now you're focused on something that works. And it's understanding you have to start with this principle of a wide, of a wide experience of failure. And then as you fail your way to success and you eliminate failures and you overcome them, you deal them, you remove them, eventually you'll come to a place where you will be practicing the pure success principles. And that's what diligence does. It takes you from an amateur to an expert. And you have to develop expertise. So once you've got the principle of hope, so you know why you're doing what you're doing, and then you've got the principle of diligence, you know you're going to get there eventually. Now you can run a business.
Wow. Now you see why I adore this guy? That is amazing. That is so, so amazing. And that is what you talk about in this new course.
Yes.
Okay, and what's the name of this course again? And where can I get my $10 coupon? Because I want to start on it tonight.
Are you on Skillshare yet, Tracy?
Yes.
You'll get, if you've got a subscription on Skillshare, you can access it. And Phil recommended, I didn't even think about it. Phil just recommended in the review. Turn it to 1.5. Just listen to it. It's all as nothing. All you can do is just listen to it. And you'll get that on Skillshare. So if you've got your $10 a month subscription on Skillshare, pop over there. If you prefer to buy your courses and own them, you can buy it on Udemy, $20. Just send me an email on Udemy system, and I'll send you a $10 coupon. But it's called the Online Entrepreneur Survival Guide. Work from home and survive. And it deals with those issues, because that's the real issue we're dealing with online entrepreneurship, is hope, diligence, people misunderstanding you, how to deal with earthquakes, how to rest, how to all the things in life that we don't really talk about as entrepreneurs. Do you know why? Because a lot of the time that's personal, that's private. And we don't necessarily want to look to the world like we're failing or look to the world like we're struggling. But do you know what? All entrepreneurs go through this. We all, you know, we all go through beans on toast time, when the only thing we can afford is beans on toast. If you haven't done that, you've not been a real entrepreneur. You know, you've got someone else funding you, or you've been very lucky. Do you get me? But a real entrepreneur goes through those times. And that's what the course is focused on. 15 years of me and Phil building online businesses, and, you know, how the mental and emotional mindset we've got to cope with that.
That sounds like an amazing course. And of course, all of your courses are amazing, but I'm going to check that out straight away. And listeners, just so you know, Mark keeps referencing Phil or Philomena. That's Mark's lovely wife, who is just, you know, I just really had to bat around if, you know, having them both on, because I know she brings so much to the table as well. They're just really an incredible team. So you've got your courses on Udemy and Skillshare right now, right? Are those the two places? Yeah. What?
No, other places as well. Yeah.
Oh, you do? You've got other places.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. So what is the future looking like for online education? Is it shifting? Is it moving? Is it growing? Is it cool? Is it scary? What is it?
It's absolutely phenomenal. It's phenomenally exciting. I've been in business 15 years. I've never seen a better business opportunity than this. If you can teach, or you can learn to teach, and got to remember, you can learn to teach. You can learn to teach. And that's really important, is, you know, some of the things we're talking about here, learning to present on camera, learning how to translate. They all learn exercise. Nobody's born a teacher. When you're a baby, you can't teach anybody anything. That's a learned skill. So if you've got real value in your life, if you've got experiences, I've got a friend. She is so artistic. It's unbelievable. So artistic. She's the sort of person, she'll go and she'll watch something. Her name's Ola. And she'll go and watch something, and then she'll create, you know, she'll go and create these dolls or something just by watching it, and she'll make it better. She's amazingly talented. And for her, we just said, take your stuff, get it on Skillshare. You know, just be yourself, get on camera, get some courses, go. So she started to build a business now, teaching online, because, you know, she's just getting out there and getting on with it, Tracy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And see, you guys, you've got so many layers. You've got the art part, you've got the teaching part, you've got the tech part, and you've got the marketing part. So we've got all that, you know, this is all great information, but now what are your tips for us to market this stuff? You know, and certainly you're not going to rattle them all off, and I know there's more than one, but what is part of that strategy that you can share with us as a marketing genius?
Simplicity. Okay. Now, where most people get mixed up in their marketing is they try and practice too many marketing disciplines at once. Okay. So the temptation is to be on Periscope, and Facebook Live, and Google Plus, mm-hmm. and Web, and YouTube, and all these things. You've got to decide what your core activity is. And your core activity as an online instructor should be building your email list. That is your goal. That's what you should be doing. So everything you do should feed into building that list. So when you go on my YouTube channel, you're going to watch my stuff. You're very rarely going to see me actually trying to sell courses. What you're going to see me, if you're watching and understand what I'm doing, is getting people on my email list. Mm-hmm. So the core thing is to, as an instructor, so if someone comes to me as an online instructor and says, how do I market myself? I said, you've got to make people aware of your expertise. So you've got to do the work, you've got to do the diligence, you've got to create the YouTube channel, you've got to put the videos out, you've got to share them videos with the right audiences. You can't just put your videos on YouTube and expect your channel to explode. You've got to work, you've got to graft. But the core principle is pick one activity. So for me right now, if you notice, I'm not doing many blabs or hangouts at the moment. For me right now, my core activity is creating YouTube content. I'm building my YouTube channel. So I'm focused on that. As an online instructor, I've tried all the other things. The YouTube channel is the most powerful. The reason being is very, very simple. It's a search engine. So there's two types of customers. So here's how to understand marketing. There's two types of customers. There's the person you walk up to in the street who does know nothing about you and you try to persuade them to buy your product. That's number one. Very hard sell. That's how most people approach marketing. That's what the people do when they advertise a new car on TV. It's broadcast marketing. Unless you've got a massive budget, it's very difficult because you've got to reach 1,000 people to get 10 sales or 1,000 people to get one sale. Very inefficient. Now, the other type of marketing is search-based marketing. Is someone is specifically looking for your expertise or they have a specific problem that you can teach them to solve and they're looking for you. Now, what happens when they find you? When they find you, they're going to buy from you. So the focus on our marketing is building our social presence and our search presence online so that when that person is looking for you, they can find you. And that's why we need to focus on search engines. So a lot of people will start Facebook groups. And I've had people challenge me, why are you on Google Plus? Google Plus is rubbish. My granny isn't on there. And they complete, and these are marketers. These are people that are putting themselves out as marketers. And they're saying, oh, yeah, yeah. And they'll challenge me. And then Google Plus is dead. Da, da, da. I'm still here. I'm doing very well. Thank you very much. But the key point with Google Plus is it's actually, it gives you search engine optimization. So although Google say it doesn't, it does. What Google won't say it gives you an advantage, but there's a thing called personalized search. And if you understand personalized search, or the broader category for that is semantic search, that basically means is Google are looking at relationships and delivering you in search based on the relationships you have with other people. So let me illustrate that really simply. Okay, so Tracy, here's you. And you know someone called Bob. Bob knows you and you know me. And Bob wants to learn how to create online training courses. But you know what? Bob doesn't know me, so how's he going to find me? Okay. What Google does is says this. Okay, so you're connected on Google Plus, YouTube, one of our properties. We can see what you're searching, what you like. We know everything about you. That's scary, but that's they know everything about us, right? Okay. Now, what they say is this. Well, Bob wants to learn about online training. Tracy knows Mark. Therefore, Bob is going to like Mark. So when we're connected through Google Plus or through the Google properties, Google can see that and they will deliver me in Bob's search result. And it's called personalized search. So if you create community online on Google Plus, what's going to happen is all those community members. So I've got 1,500 community members in my online entrepreneur community. We're all interconnected. It works for everybody. It doesn't just work for me. It works for you for being in there. It works for me, for Phil Campbell, anyone who's in there. It works, okay? Because we've just created this mass spiderweb community, and all our connections start becoming each other's connections, and we're not even aware of it. Mm-hmm. So now when someone comes looking for your stuff, most people, if you're using Chrome or Show, will be in personalized search. And that's when you're thinking about marketing. You've got to be thinking in terms of online is when the person comes looking for me, how are they going to find me? Because they will buy from me. And once you get a big enough presence, more and more people will find you. Your presence grows more and more. And that's how you grow an online marketing presence.
That is serious value right there. Because I think people tend to go with that shiny object. And there's something new coming out every day. You know, the Periscope, the this, the that, the, you know, and I've jumped on all of it. And you know where I've come back to? YouTube.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Because, you know, that's where my people have come from.
But let me share one more top tip on YouTube. If you want to grow your YouTube channel quickly, you need to do a content launch.
I've got okay, a whole video tell us YouTube. About that.
I've got a whole video on my YouTube channel on content launch on YouTube. Essentially, what it is this. When you create a video, most people just put it on their channel. They don't launch it. So they put it on the first day, they might get 10 viewers, then they might get 3 viewers the next day and 2 viewers the next day. And they've just created this piece of content. They haven't told anybody.
So what I do once a week is I do a content launch. I've done one today. You'll see it. You're going to absolutely, if you're following me today, you will see that I've just released a video. And then what I do is anywhere where I can announce that, I announce that. Anywhere where I can legitimately announce that to that audience, I have a specific launch on that day. Now, here's what happens in terms of YouTube search. If I do a big announcement in one day, I get 200 hits on that video. Or 100 sometimes, sometimes 200, depending on the content. And I market it to different sections every time, depending on the content. So let's just say today I do that launch. In the first hour and a half, I get 100. So let's say the first 12 hours, I get 150 hits on that video. I'm not competing for huge amounts of, I'm not competing in the million category. My videos only need to be doing about 300-400 hits to like rank really well. So I don't need a huge audience or a niche audience. But here's what happens. YouTube will see, Google will see, it's the same for a YouTube video, a blog or anything. Google will see that traffic and they will go, wow, this video just went live. It had 200 hits. I'm going to rank this. And that is such a strong ranking in search. People don't get that. So when you launch a piece of content, it's difficult when you're producing content every day. You almost have to pick one piece of content at the end of the week that you're going to launch would be my recommendation. Your best piece of content from that week, launch it, let everyone know, advertise it everywhere. A great tip for you, create a Udemy course, educational announcement, let them know you've just released a new video. That's a big list you can appeal to. You can do it on Skillshare. You can do it in different places, anywhere where you've got an audience and you're allowed to let them know legitimately, let them know, not to sell them, but to take that piece of content and lift it up in search so that when someone comes looking, guess what they find? Your piece of content. So always create a content launch.
That is amazing. That is amazing. Just that one tip alone is game changing. And I'm doing that. And I get your emails. I'm on your list. And I get your course information. Never put that together.
No.
That is, I put out 2 to 3 YouTube videos a week. How many YouTube videos a week do you put out? One? Just the one?
One.
Okay. That's incredible.
You see, what you got to be careful is saturation. One a week, I think. If you've got the audience, you can do 2 or 3 a week and you think you can get them to watch it, but people's time is precious. So I make sure it's the really, really powerful stuff. Mm-hmm. With me, that I know my audience is tied into. So it could be online instructors or it could just be marketing. They're the two main things I push. My marketing is my bigger audience. So when I do a marketing video, I'll tend to get more on that. But my online instructor stuff is actually been growing lately. So that can be good. But yeah, if you can launch it, that then creates awareness for Google and YouTube. And that's the difference between my video, make sure they're really good, really professional. But that's my video has got 150, 200 views in the first 24 hours. And the guy who produced the same piece of content, he's probably got 5 times the number of people on his YouTube channel, but he hasn't launched it. He's got 1/10 of the views. And another little tip is whenever you release a new course, your subscribers will get notified, but you have to tell them to switch their channel notifications on. So if you go to the end of one of my YouTube videos, go to the one I put out today, go to the end and watch my call to action, because I'll say to them, subscribe and switch your notifications on for your channel so that you don't miss one of my videos, because they'll subscribe and they'll get a notification, but it'll slip under the radar. But if they subscribe to the channel, then when they're on their phone, their iPhone or anything like that, they'll get a push notification. Mark's just released a new video. Oh, has he? Boom. Let's watch that.
Oh, I've done that before. I've been out with the dog or whatever, and the pop-up came up, and I said, oh, I'm going to see what Mark's got going right now.
Yeah, and what it is you've got to tell them to switch notifications on for your channel. So when you're doing a call to action, that's really important. Don't just tell them to subscribe on YouTube. Tell them to actually switch notifications for the channel on.
Yeah. Yeah. And so you're...
And then what you've got is now you do that launch, you've got your email list, you've just notified on my Udemy course, I've got my Google Plus following, my Facebook following, my Twitter following, my YouTube channel subscribers. All of a sudden, everyone knows I've just released a new video. I get a mass, boom, up it goes in search.
And do you do that consistently, like every Thursday at 12 noon Eastern time, that video is going out, or do you shake it up a little bit?
Yeah, no, once a week, I aim for every Thursday. Sometimes I let it slip back to Sunday because I'm just so busy. Mm-hmm. But my principle of diligence is every Thursday, I need to be producing something of extremely high value. That's the key thing. It's got to be extremely high value to my potential audience. And I'm going to put that out every Thursday. And I'm going to plan for that. And remember, it's a YouTube video. So you can record on Monday, on Tuesday, on Wednesday. You'd have to record it on Thursday. You can record on Sunday. And another thing, the tip for people is create 5 or 6 videos in a batch, line them up, and then you've got them to release. So you can create a series. And then you've got 6 weeks worth of marketing. You can release that to your newsletter, and you're sorted out, and then you can get on with your other stuff.
That's incredible. Mark, you are something else. I just learn so much from you every time I get a video from you, a conversation with you, a course from you. I just want everybody to check out your work. Now, where is the best place? Where do we direct people to find you? And of course, I'll put all of it in the show notes, but where's your hub?
SME Heroes. So SME Heroes, if you just search for SME Heroes, you're going to find us. So you go there, SME Heroes, go there, go to the homepage, lots of free resource for people, lots of free training. There's a new platform guide we've just put up on there today. So if you're looking for different places to sell your online courses, so you've already got digital content, you've already created your courses, maybe Udemy sales have dropped off since the change. There's loads of places you can put those courses. And one of the things I'd recommend for you, Tracy, is your courses are very modular. So I'd start, if you haven't already done so, putting them on Skillshare straight away. But do 20 to 30 minute sections as individual courses, and you will earn some revenue doing that.
You know, that's great advice. And I watched, I believe you did a video. It was a blab, I believe, where you were talking about, it was with Olivier, and you guys were talking about you've really done the work on the Skillshare thing. And that's when I really got into gear over on that platform. It sounds like you've really had some great success over there and figured it out. What's working?
Yeah, no, we're going good. It's a bit of a monster. You've got to feed it. What will happen, you'll put your courses up and they'll just do really well for the first couple of weeks, and they sort of disappear into the never regions of Skillshare. So that's part of it. But what they essentially want you to do is release one new course a month. But if you're a professional course creator, you've already got this content. You might already have a large course you can break up. Just feed them out one a week. Just feed out those courses once a week and build an audience. And the way Skillshare works is a rising tide. At the beginning, you'll have 100 followers, and then you've got 1,000 and then 10,000. And what happens is, the core thing to understand is when you release a new course, they notify your students. On Udemy, you have to go and tell everybody. On Skillshare, they notify. So at the beginning, you've got 100. So you notify, you might get 10 enrollments, but eventually you get to 1,000 and they get notified, you might get 50 enrollments. Mm-hmm. And when you get to 10,000, they'll get a notification. So again, it's a platform where you have to be diligent and put out regular courses. Same thing again, just keep, like, it's like building a social media presence on that. You've got to be diligent, and you've got to be looking at the 12 to 18 month game. We didn't mention that earlier. When you're looking at diligence working for you in your business, you should be planning to see results 12 to 18 months from now, not next month. Key principle. You're not looking for the results tomorrow. You're looking for results in 12 to 18 months. That's how you succeed online with online entrepreneurship. And when you do that on Skillshare, you plan for the income you want in 12, 20 months, not the income you want tomorrow.
Oh, that's good advice. That's good advice. Yeah, I took your advice on that, and I took my big courses. And, you know, it's not the voice course. It's the voice variety course and the voice getting the sound out course and the voice. And, you know, I broke it all down, and I've started loading them that way. And so that's really, really great advice. And I think that is true. You know, I think we get caught up in this instant gratification world, and, well, I don't have 3,000 students and I loaded them 3 days ago, so forget that. You know, I think that we have to exercise that patience for sure.
Yeah. For sure. Yeah. You've got to be diligent, and you've got to keep putting it out there, because one of the things to understand is everything is compound interest. So it all compounds over time. But to make it work, you've
got, that's why I hate the term passive income. I always like the term residual income, because passive lacks diligence.
Yeah.
So if you're looking for a passive income, you're saying, I want an income that doesn't require diligence.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen. Residual
right.
income, when you're building residual income, you apply diligence, and residual income is a result of that diligence.
Yeah.
And that's what we have to understand as a business.
Oh, this has just been phenomenal. You guys, this is why I wanted Mark on the show. He is just so full of valuable information. I just can't thank you enough for your time today. It's just been such a treat to have you with us.
And thank you for having me, Trace. I appreciate the invite.
And thank you all for being with me today. Thank you for your downloads and your shares. Make sure and look Mark up. I'll have his information in the show notes. Go check him out. Check his courses out. You will not be disappointed, I promise. And until I see you next time, just get out there and speak your truth. Just do it beautifully.